This is North Shore Today. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. And in today's program, we'll discuss some of the news stories around the North Shore and a variety of other topics as well. And we'll tell you more about those videos that we have on the webpage as well on our North Shore Today post just ahead. But Rick, here we are. It is 2016. How about that?
You know, it's funny. We were just talking as though it were yesterday about, getting into December and the Christmas season and so on. Then I'm working a game with Phil Stacey on Saturday, and it was only, I think, January 2nd, but it felt like we were already like a month into the year. So, the world keeps on spinning, keeps on going around the sun, and here we are. Looks like winter has finally arrived, exciting time, and high school sports full underway. I'm ready, Bill. Happy New Year to you.
Right. Happy New Year to everybody out there. Thanks for joining us here on our first North Shore Today. We took some time off over the holiday week, which was great. We'll be posting our winter sports schedule for this week very soon, probably later today or first thing tomorrow, but we'll have some winter sports action for you this week as well. And I thought I'd touch on a few things. I think news-wise, there's not a lot of breaking news stories that, remember the babysitter in Hamilton and the child that got abducted in the middle of the night? Well, I guess that's going to court at some point in the next day or so, and so there'll be some news coming out on that. We want to touch on Al Needham, legendary North Shore broadcaster. He had his funeral this past Saturday in Manchester-by-the-Sea, longtime resident of Manchester-by-the-Sea. And we'll talk a little bit about Al in just a moment or so. Let me just share with you our videos that we have up there today. There's a trending video that was on the news this morning, and it's called Watermelon Boy. And it is a boy in the stands at a cricket match. It might be Australia, I'm not sure, but he has a whole watermelon that he eats it. And so there's a little clip on that. We also have, the polar plunges, Rick, that all around the North Shore, Greater Boston, the Southie, the L Street Brownies, all that stuff. Every lot of towns along the coast here have the polar plunges. Well, this is a polar plunge, caught my eye, in the Netherlands, where there are 10,000 people. So this is huge. I mean, the other ones are, hey, you get a bunch of people there, but they're not 10,000 people. So, hey, just click on that, watch for a few seconds, and just see the massive number of people that are ready to plunge in on New Year's Day there. And then this one, I saw this one, came across a video like this the other day. Rick, you have kids, and, you know, when you're walking with kids or doing hiking or doing different things or playing in the yard, you've had to make some saves, as I call it, you know, with the kids of just about to go into peril, about to crash into something, doing something. Well, there's a great video here, and it's not violent. You know, when you play, when they have these videos where, you know, people are cracking up and kids are falling and adults falling and doing stupid things where they're kind of violent. This is not at all. So it's just dads saving little kids, and we all have our stories about those little saves. You grab a kid falling while hiking or doing different things or on a swing or whatever. But there are some great dad saves, so to speak. So we're in the hockey season where goaltenders are making saves, and you saw a great game Saturday. And anyways, we got three videos up there today. No more holiday music videos. That's over for now.
Yeah, I've seen that one with the saves, and it does remind me of when the kids were little, absolutely. And you're right, Bill, everybody's got a story. And I actually had one when I was skiing not that long ago. Ski patrol asked me, or not ski patrol, but the instructors, one of the ski instructors asked me if a little girl could ride up on a lift with me. She was in a ski school. She's probably 5 or 6 years old. And as we were coming off the lift, her scarf got caught in the chair, and she was almost hanging by her neck as the chair went around when we got off at the top, and I was able to make a save there.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was really one of the scariest things of my life, and that little girl was okay, you know. It's just, but yeah, we've all been there, and thank God we're able to do that. So the little kids, I'll tell you, they don't know the danger, so we have to. We got to be aware all the time.
Absolutely. So again, well, I can't top that story. Oh my gosh! Wow.
No, but you know the thing. But the thing is, Bill, it's you know, the old "there but for the grace of God" thing, because it's a daily routine, and for most people, you know, everything turns out okay. Whether you just the kid is almost ready to step into traffic or slide on whatever it might be, and everything is okay. And only the parent who's there at the time, the heart starts beating in the chest 900 miles an hour when you realize what could have happened. But thank God so many of these things, nothing happens. And when something does, it's just so horrible. And, you know, so thank goodness it doesn't happen often. And I think the video is a reminder that we just need to be a little bit more careful sometimes and think
ahead. Oops, okay, so let me just share. Let's go back to Saturday. Al Needham, the legendary newscaster at WESX Radio in Salem, passed away December 28th at the age of 81 years old. The last several years, he was at Brooksby Village in Peabody. Longtime Manchester resident, and I think he lived in Salem as well later on in his life and before going to Brooksby Village. And three kids, two daughters, and a son who served in the military. And the service, Rick, was really, really outstanding. The minister there at the church in Manchester, I think it's on Central Street, but it's right downtown, right next door to the library. If folks know Manchester. And Saturday was just a spectacular day, and the minister was terrific. And several folks got up and spoke about Tyke, as he is referred to in Manchester, by the sea. And there were the townies there, and it was and the minister knew Al from many years ago. So it was, you know, it's not like some services where the minister, and God bless them, you know, they're called upon to do services. They may not really know the people, but that this guy definitely knew Al and had him down. And and Al's certainly a character. But, you know, they mentioned some things that, you know, we worked with Al, Rick, and I didn't really know all these stories, some of them, but some of them, they can't tell. But, I mean, but his health issues, I guess he was on an iron lung as a kid and, you know, always was rambunctious and so on. But his family got the first television set in Manchester, so at least he's on the iron lung, and I actually don't know all what that entails, but you know, so he did have something to watch back in those days, and so, you know, he was, you know, the stories go on and on, and Andy Carboni was there, Marty Smith, Len Wenneberg from the radio station, and Malcolm Alter, who you still hear a lot on the North Shore. So I, you know, there's the number of people from the radio station that were there that are still around. And also Paul Tucker, the former police chief in Salem, was there. He spoke briefly. He's, of course, now a legislator representing the North Shore, representing Salem and so on. Talked about Al's and work with the police. One other guy, I think it's Tom Clark. I may have that name wrong, Rick, but he was a police writer for the Salem News back years ago, and had some very glowing things to say about Al as well. So that was really a nice thing to hear. So it was a nice mix of people that did speak, and a lot of great stories from Al, and really a wonderful service for Al. Saturday in Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, whenever anybody hears, you know, or knows, realizes that I used to work at WESX, the first name they mention, Bill, is Al Needham. He was our news director for a long time, and I have fond memories of Al. Great guy, and taught me a lot. Had a very unique style that was a lot of fun to listen to and to make fun of sometime. From, you know, with good naturedly with Al, and he was fine. He could give as well as take. He was pretty good, or take as well as give, however you want to look at it. But a very gentle man, a good man. And it's funny, the first thought that comes to my mind, Bill, is those Saturday morning. And Al could do everything. He did everything at the station, and worked many hours, long hours, sometimes overtime, 6 hours a day, 6 days a week. Well, actually, he worked 8 to 10 hours a day, six days a week.
Yeah.
But I think of the train accident that happened on my very first summer, and I had to fill in for Al. Actually, I wasn't filling in for Al then. I was doing evening news. And Al went over to the site, to the crash site, and helped out. And, you know, he'd show up for work at 4 a.m. So this is like 5 p.m., and he was over there reporting on the site. But the very first thought that comes to mind, and I know you remember these very well, are those Saturday morning auctions. We had radio auctions back then. And to see him keep track of things and to run that auction just boggled my mind. I had a hard time just engineering the thing. And he was on top of it, and it was so cool to watch him bring in the money from that auction.
I'd forgotten all about that. Two other names that were there that stand out. Larry Burnham was there, who did evenings there at WESX for a long time, and also Fran York, former athletic director and coach in Manchester and Swampscott and administrator, and now lives out in New Hampshire, I believe. But Fran York and his wife Phyllis were there as well, and of course they had a real connection. You know, you kind of forget about this back when Fran was working in Manchester, and of course Al was there, and Fran had done a lot of stuff at the radio station as well over the years. So yeah, those two were there as well. So
Fran, in case anybody knows, Fran was a longtime basketball coach, athletic director, and boy, when you talk to people over in Manchester, Essex, and you talk athletics, Fran York's name always comes up right at the top of the list.
Right, he is a great guy, and he was he also coached with Bondilevich and in Swampscott, and he's one of these guys that really had a lot of respect for Bondilevich, and I think took a lot from Bondilevich in his own coaching. Coaching career, and so it was great to see Fran York again. Didn't get a chance to talk to him as much as I wanted to, but anyways, we'll have to follow up with Fran. You know, the one thing I just to wrap up on Al that strikes me is, you know, people gloat about him as a newsman, and of course we were behind the scenes, so we could really see what was really going on there. But you know, one of the things was he was there every day. He was there on time every day. He didn't skimp. He did the work. He did the hard work. And they talked about how he got stories that other people couldn't get. And part of the reason was the way that he attributed the hard work of the police and fire department. When people didn't do that, and still don't do that to this day as much as they probably should, you get it from time to time. But these guys work so hard, and he clearly gave them a lot of credit. But my last thing to say about Al is, and I think back to all those years, and I got two more things, is that my shift and his, we didn't really cross all that much. He was off and gone by the time I got there, because we worked the opposite shifts more or less at the radio station, except on Saturday for many years when we did work together. But, you know, he was a far better person than even a broadcaster, if that can say anything about him, because he was really a wonderful guy, and you could tell by the folks that spoke from Manchester, from his church, from his community, where he was a deacon for many years at that church and so on, that he was really a special person and cared about people and could tell a story and as well as anybody, really, and just a wonderful guy, and he's one of these guys where you realize later on, man, this guy had more layers and qualities than you realized at the time you're working with him day to day, because we're all so busy, we're all doing things, we got our own things to do, deadlines to meet, and so on. But when you know, the day comes and you can sit back and spend an hour plus in the church and realize what this guy really did and the kind of person that he was, it was really a nice day to see all of that. And and Al was you know, a far bigger person than even the name that you mentioned. People are always, you know, ask us about Al Needham if you tell them you ever worked at WESX, because that's what they remember, getting up in the morning and hearing those no school announcements or whatever from Al.
Yeah, and it will be nice to keep the legacy going for Al too, Bill. I got to meet Chief Tucker because of Al when I first started MSO a few years ago. We interviewed Chief Tucker on our website, and he was so gracious and bringing me in, and goodness gracious, he went out of his way to tell us things and talk to me and so on. But the first thing he said when I met him, because I had to introduce myself by saying, well, I used to work with at WESX, and he said, oh, you work with Al then. Al. And he would say, when I was on the drug unit, the anti-drug unit, he said he remembers Al starting his stories with the crack anti-drug team of Salem Police Detective Paul Tucker, and Representative Tucker quoted that back to me, and he had the biggest smile on his face. So Al brought a smile to a lot of people's faces daily, and I think the big thing, Bill, in terms of journalism, broadcast journalism, is he had a very unique style. And back in those days, as you said, we saw the work behind the scenes. He had to actually call every single police station on the North Shore, and he had a relationship with every single, I think, police officer on the North Shore. So he was able to get stories that other people were not able to get.
The other thing, couple of things too. The phrases that he made kind of famous. Stories are breaking from all corners of the globe. That came up. You and I know hopscotching the region for news.
Yep.
Remember that one? And
he would
have these transitions.
Redlining the temperature.
Oh yeah. These different phrases that he would use. I'm just blanking out on one other one. I was just going to mention. Anyway, he would have these phrases and these catchphrases. But you know, the other thing too. Remember the football scoreboard show in sports at the radio station. I guess probably the biggest show of all time was the football scoreboard show. And that, yeah, we made some changes on it years ago. Jay Pauley came on. We began interviewing coaches and so on. But Al, back in those days, he wouldn't miss a score, and he would get his scores by basically calling the police, because the police would have with the radios, they would have a policeman on a detail at a high school football game. And, of course, it's Saturday afternoon. If you're a policeman, it's probably not the busiest time, you know, for these towns, whether you're up in Hamilton or Ipswich or over at Salem or wherever the games might be. And they would, boom, check on the score, report it back way before Twitter, way before all of this stuff that we kind of rely on today for scores. But, you know, Al would have all the scores, and he was reliable, is what he was.
You think, Bill, what you did with the program and how you expanded it, but you had one, two, three guys working it for the most part, sometimes more, sometimes less. But Al kept that show. He actually got the show going before you came on the scene.
Oh, yeah.
As a one-man band, and literally a one-man band, he still got all the scores, hundreds of scores, from Eastern Massachusetts, and he did it all by himself on a Saturday afternoon. And, of course, in order for him to be on the phone and engineer at the same time, and keep the station on the air, he would play these march music, the martial music from fight songs and military songs from all over the country. And of course, if you're coming home from a football game, sometimes that would be a little annoying because you're waiting for Al to come back on. But at that time, I didn't realize what was going on. I thought this was a full blown staff show, and it was Al all by himself. And he got the thing going where he got a huge listenership, and then of course he was able to anchor it when you expanded it.
And the other thing too, back in that day at that time, every high school football game kind of kicked off at 1:30 in the afternoon. You know, I'm saying 90-95%. There were, and then before then, lights came on board, and of course, we came after lights were around. But lights at the time, and we talk about this, we're only in Lynn. Lynn had lights, and that was Newburyport had lights. I believe they had them time ago. But other than that, I'm really thinking at the early stages, they were the only guys with lights for quite a while. And then, of course, other communities added lights. And so clearly I'm missing somebody. I know Danvers came on very early with lights and so on in Peabody. But for a while there, I think years ago when this thing started, it was everybody was playing pretty much Saturday afternoon except for a handful of teams. There you go.
Those were the days. And, we're going to miss him. He's a good guy.
And, I got a chance, I live in a small town, I stopped in at the library before the service, which is right next door to the church, and they got a classic small town library with friendly people in it. It's just, it was really a nice little place to swing by on that Saturday. Here's my gripe, though. This has nothing to do with the funeral, nothing to do with Manchester, Essex, or Manchester by the Sea, but Rick, and now you and I were talking how you now are going to these games at the Bork Arena, right? You're going through Manchester, right? Staying on 127. So, I came up 127 from Beverly, and I went back 127 from Manchester. And I came out, and it was just really a beautiful day, and it was a beautiful service. So I'm coming back down 127, and I'm trying to, go the speed limit. I don't need to speed. I don't need to rush. I'm headed home, but the speed limit changes so many different times from man. If you live up there, it must drive you insane. I'm telling you, the speed limit must have changed over a course of 3 miles, maybe 15 times. And it's like you come out of town and I'm thinking, oh, this has got to be like a 35. And you look at the sign and it's 45. And it's 45 for like like a half a mile, and then it goes down to 30, you know. If you go from Manchester by the Sea down towards Beverly, and I get it, you slow down for the curves. There are two sharp turns in that whole stretch going down there. You go by beautiful homes and so on, and the Landmark School, the Endicott College, all of these great places right on the ocean there. And then, but the speed limit, you know, it's like, oh wow, I'm going too slow. it's just amazing the number of changes on that speed limit from Manchester by the Sea to Beverly.
Yeah, you got to stay awake along that drive. That's for sure, and that's good, Bill. Now you're giving me something else to gripe about. I forgot about that, but that's good because I'm really working on my mini road rage, trying to get past that. Can I mention a couple of other things here?
Absolutely.
Well, just matter for discussion, I think, or at least to think about. there is an article in the paper. I've seen it a couple of times, but there is an article, not necessarily local. But about these drones, these unmanned drones, and it's the little personal drones that you see flying around taking pictures. Now, they get some great shots, and people who are responsible with these, especially professional photographers, do an amazing job. They get pictures, again, that you ordinarily wouldn't get. But some of these drones are becoming nuisances, obviously. And so there's an article in the Times, I imagine it's in most North Shore newspapers, about, the incident at Logan over the weekend where a jet pilot, I think the plane was landing, saw a drone about 100 feet below the aircraft. And so there is legislation being considered, I guess, or pondered concerning drones. And I don't think that can come too fast. I think some of the people using these drones do not understand how dangerous they can be. And of course, it's another piece of Americana that some could interpret as being an imposition by the government, which leads me to the other thing I saw in the news last night. Very disturbing. I think it's out in Oregon.
Yeah, where, right.
So-called militia has taken over a federal building, and they are armed to the teeth. And I tell you, Bill, as a former military guy, that scares me. I don't like that. I just don't like it.
Yeah, the drone thing is I mean, there's a couple of stories out on that about the lack of regulations on those, and it seems like certainly around airports that should be rule number one. And the police are, I'm sure they're out there, and I'm sure they're the state police that patrol that area, and it was north of Boston too, so definitely impacting our area here. So somewhere along the line is there's a number of different flight paths for planes to come into Logan, and one of them is right down the coast there, as they kind of run right down along Revere Beach and on in over Winthrop and into the airport. That's one of the flight patterns. And so, if you're flying a drone in that area, it's going to be a problem. So you can't do it, it would seem to me. But anyway, so it's just and then you got the laser pointer thing, too. So clearly you got to keep these aircraft safe. And again, I just don't know. I just seems to me that there needs to be some regulation. So now if I'm a police officer, I guess there are regulations about distances from airports. So those are already on the books. It's just a matter of being able to find the people with the drones. And, of course, you're not really attached to the drone, so to speak. It's not like you're in a car, you got a license plate or whatever, So it's just I imagine it's very difficult for law enforcement.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And hopefully things will get better instead of getting worse.
Yep. All right. And, Rick, the Patriots, come on now. What happened yesterday? I mean, this team just did not show up. I mean, I know they have injuries. And, I don't know what the deal is. But we put a tweet out there yesterday, Rick. At least the punting game for the Patriots is all set to go for the playoffs. I mean, they had... I mean, they've never punted. They broke their season record for punts, I think, in that game yesterday.
You gotta wonder. Nobody's mentioned this. You gotta wonder if Brady is hurt, because last week was the first time I've seen him not go for the jugular at halftime, just before the half. They had the ball, and I remember the score was close, I believe. They had the ball with like 2 minutes to go, or more than 2 minutes, and they just sat on it. I've never seen that in the 15 years of this particular. Addition, with Belichick and Brady. And then yesterday, that first quarter, are you kidding me? What was that, Bill? What the heck was that in professional football? And I remember, maybe Belichick lied to us, because he used to say football players play football on Sunday. Hello? What was that? I mean, Brady handed off every single play except one, and that was a shovel pass in the first quarter.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. It's just maybe they have a plan. But, boy, that was a letdown for Patriot Nation yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I know. And I guess the thing that we really don't know is what was said in internally and so on. And, you know, here's the thing, that hit that Brady took was, oh, my gosh, that was, you know, that you worry about that kind of stuff. And then, Rick, I don't know if you watch those post-game news conferences. If I'm around, lounging around, lazing it out on a Sunday or after a game, I will watch those things on the fifth quarter. And I did. And Brady was fine. He's always good. He's always polite and nice. But when he left, he was limping off of that, off the podium. And so he definitely is hurting right now after that game. And hopefully with 2 weeks, he'll be okay. But Belichick certainly was very short and very short. And you got to think that maybe this wasn't part of their plan to not really show up on Sunday. The way Belichick reacted or didn't want to engage or whatever. I don't know.
And, of course, the double whammy was to see how well Peyton Manning played last night in the second half. He was outstanding. He wasn't great, but he was good enough. And, you know, it just made me as, you know, and I think all of Patriot Nation just think, where the heck is this thing going? Because every coach always says we have to improve. We have to get better as the season goes along. And, you know, New England, we all know, hasn't gotten better. In fact, you know, they're trending downward.
Oh, there's no doubt. And I'm thinking yesterday, this is a potential number one seed in the AFC, this team here, this Patriot team.
Right.
Now, granted, they've have all these injuries, and I get that, you know, so that's it's unfair criticism. It's out of my mouth, it's there, but still. But anyway, you know, here they are now, the number two seed after the finish. And this was a team, Rick, that was so close, whiskers away from maybe having that undefeated season. Seriously, they were. They really weren't that far away from that. But now they're really just not playing. They weren't really playing for all that much. And I guess the question I have is, I don't know how much the whole team, you know, was trying for that home field advantage. It seemed that would be something to really play for, to win and lock that piece up. But, you know, Miami is the only team that has a winning record against this group, you know, down in Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, they...
And Brady, you know, Brady has a tough time down there as well. And the other thing, the main thing I thought even before when I was watching the first quarter was, this, you know how some teams play not to lose instead of to win? And I was thinking, you know, that phrase, I was thinking, these guys are playing to not get hurt. They're just playing to not get hurt. They just want the 60 minutes to be over. And I thought, geez, that's not like a Patriot team. And I could be all wet, you know, that's just my interpretation. I mean, who knows what really goes on. But, hey, they got 2 weeks to get healthy, and they're still the Patriots, and we still got – you know, Gronk and Brady and all those guys. hope springs eternal.
But, you know, you might be onto something there, Rick, because you play not to get hurt. And what happens? Brady gets hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously,
exactly.
Come on. Now, how deflating is that for your group of players? Your main job is not to get hurt. Your big guy gets hurt. I think that might have been part of it as well. And, I don't know why they don't put the backup in once in a while in the NFL for, you know, what is the harm of that, I guess, you know what I'm saying? But I guess you can't do it. Never mind. I take that thought back. It's not going to happen. So never mind. Because that would be admitting that you're really not out there to win. So I take that back. But once he got hurt, maybe you could have put him in. But that's another story for another. But not for us, though. We're done.
Yeah, that's it. I do want to say that it was great doing the hockey game on Saturday night. Beverly played Marblehead really tightly. The Marblehead goalie pitching a shutout, 3-0. But it was a really a hard-fought game. And Marblehead's first line, boy, they are something to watch. If you haven't seen them, you got to go see these guys play. Good team. Talking with Coach Shears and Coach Jackson was awesome on Saturday. Both of them were very insightful and looking forward to the game. And I think... Beverly's going to make some noise before this thing is over.
Yeah, they don't have a win yet, right? They have two ties, but they don't have a win, which is...
they're 0-1 in their conference. Yep.
Yeah, that's right, too, yeah. So
0-2-2, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, so this is it. We got, and speaking of sports, Endicott College, it was, I guess they knocked off Babson yesterday in hockey, a nationally ranked team, and congratulations to them. Salem State men's hockey won as well over the weekend, yesterday rather. And so we have those posts and details up there as well. And Endicott's getting some great play out of, I think, a couple of freshmen are really doing it for them. So congratulations to them, and we'll be following that. We have all the local sports stories really now beginning to lay themselves out and unfold here in January and February. So we'll be on that. We'll be telling you more about that in the days ahead too here. So we invite you to check back on the website. Also, email us at our email address, which is posted down below in the broadcast here today, which is msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. I think I just fixed it. So we might have had some plug status, a little static here. So hopefully got that fixed now. So anyways, Richard, anything else?
No, I think that's it, except I just want to make the one comment about Endicott. Phil Stacy, Phil, Salem News Sports Editor, helped me out at the game on Saturday, and he was getting a report that Endicott had beaten Salem State in hockey. First-year program, I guess, for the varsity interscholastic team at Endicott. And, you know, I was kind of surprised, but, boy, when they win the next day as well, it looks like Endicott hockey is for real.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, that'll do it for us here today on the program. It's Monday. We're back. It's 2016. We're here every single day with you here on msonewsports.com. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for being with us. And this is North Shore Today on msonewsports.com.